Then their eyes were opened and they recognized Jesus. And when you come to think of it, that's quite the most precious thing that can happen to us. To have our eyes opened and to recognize Jesus. And it's the most important and precious prayer that we can pray for anybody else. That their eyes might be opened and that they might recognize Jesus. Not a question of Jesus being absent and then coming to them. It's a question of Jesus being present and people recognizing Jesus. In other words, having their eyes opened. And I feel as though I ought to make some apology for bringing Easter forward for a fortnight with those two readings. You must have been wondering why on Passion Sunday we were reading some resurrection stories. But we've been looking at, and this is the final one, we've been looking at the way in which God speaks to us, reveals himself to us, and uses us through our five senses. And we've come in this final reflection to the sense of sight. And sight depends upon light. And as you read through the Easter stories, the verb to see is one of the most common words in the whole stories. They saw the Lord. I have seen the Lord. Their eyes were opened. It's all about seeing. And in the early church, the great qualification for being an apostle was somebody who could say, I have seen the Lord. And now today, we can say we have seen the Lord. Our eyes have been opened and we recognize Jesus. So it was natural for me to go to the Easter stories when we were going to look at this question of sight. And Easter speaks to us both of stability, of something that is unchanging because it's the foundation of our faith, but also something that introduces constant change. And I think this is a very good message for the whole church, and maybe for St. Ursula's in particular at this very moment in its history. For Easter speaks to us about the climax of our journey, but also it is a starting point. And the particular point in St. Ursula's history is that you've pilgrimaged together to this point in your history, and yet you're starting again. And Easter gives us some foundations for our faith, a secure foundation for our faith. It's very firm, it's very steady. And yet the invitation of Easter is to a faith that is full of risk, a life that is full of risk. If you give your life to God, then you don't give your life for a life of ease and comfort. You give it for a life that is full of God's adventure and God's risk. And Easter reminds us that factually, and I believe this most profoundly, that factually Jesus rose from the dead. In history, he rose from the dead bodily. And yet, Easter's message is that it gives us hope of our own, and those we love, our own immortality. And it is this stability combined with change that I want to explore with you. That God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And yet promises that we will constantly be changed. Did you hear that in the first reading? We shall all be changed. And in reflecting about this, I want to begin with two of Berne's most famous men. Albert Einstein, the physicist, whose early theories of the relationship between space and time were first grasped in his house that I visited this week in Crowngrass. And the other man is Paul Klee, one of the most influential of modern painters, whose work is so magnificently displayed in the Paul Clay Center. If I understand just an inkling of Einstein's theory, and I don't pretend to understand it thoroughly, but if I understand an inkling of it, fundamental to his work was the consistency of the speed of light. That is there amidst many different kinds of variables, that there is that consistency. And essential to Paul Clay's creativity was his wonder at the variety of light and the spectrum of colours that the light could provide. Now, so it is with what Easter means to us. We view the world, and this is the Christian worldview, we view the world through the constant light of Easter. In my book, without Easter, there is no Christian faith. So we're constantly seeing the world through that window of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But actually, we all see it in different ways and at different times. Do you ever play that game when you were a child? Maybe you've played it since. Of lying back on a summer's day in the grass and looking up at the clouds passing. And you begin to share with each other what you can see the shapes make in the clouds. It's the same light and it's the same clouds. And somebody says, I can see a range of mountains. And somebody else says, I can see a tiger's head. It's the same light, it's the same clouds that you're looking at, but you actually see different things with the same light. And as I wandered around the Paul Clay Center looking at his paintings and listening through the earphones to the experts speaking to me, it was as if scales dropped from my eyes. And what was totally unintelligible to me when I began to have some coherence and some meaning. And I saw things that I hadn't seen before, even though I was looking at the same picture. And under one consistent God, there will always be many variables, even in the life of the church, and even here at St. Ursula's. We see different colours, we see different textures, but we see with the one light, which is Christ. And learning to live with variety under one Lord is part of the distinctive calling of the whole church, but particularly here at St. Ursula's, where in human terms our commonality is a common language. Our commonality is the one light of Christ. But we come from so many different kinds of cultural, religious, experienced backgrounds that we're bound to bring a variety of colours into that light. And what we must not do is reduce all the colours that we see to a kind of lowest common denominator, which is a sort of dull grey. We are not Christians in grey suits. We are Christians with the full spectrum of the light of Christ amongst us. We find the richness of God in the variety of ways in which he brings his light to bear upon us. And like the spectrum of a rainbow and all those wonderful colours of red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo and violet, we look at this and we wonder at God. And we listen to each other. And we seek sometimes to look through each other's windows at the different spectrum and the different colours that God gives us. Let's just look at this in the context of the gospel story, of the Emmaus story, and think about it in the context of the life of St. Ursula's. First of all, here are two people on their way back home, a little disconsolate, and they're talking to each other. So far, so good, because I've noticed that St. Ursula is quite good at talking to each other. But they were leaving a huge disappointment, a huge cloud behind them. They had come straight from the crucifixion, and they were disciples of Jesus. And imagine building up an anticipation of what Jesus was going to do with all his talk of a new kingdom, and then finding him in disgrace and pinned to a cross. So they were deeply bewildered. They were deeply ashamed, almost, of their past. And then, unknown to them, in the heart of that bewilderment, Jesus actually came alongside them. And still unknown to them, he referred them to Scripture, and Scripture in some detail. He took the Scripture from the time of the prophets and looked at every reference that was pointing to the Messiah, in order that they might understand in their minds something of what Jesus was going to bring them. And they were so gripped by this, but yet still didn't know Jesus. They were still so gripped by this that they invited him in. And that was actually, for them, a very crucial step. We want to get to know this man a bit more intimately. So we're going to invite him into the intimacies of our life. Imagine going on a journey and being a bit disconsolate, and coming to your own doorstep and saying, "I'm going to invite a stranger in." I can imagine what Brenda would say. She'd say, "Did I leave some washing up in the kitchen? Are the beds made? Is every room tidy in order to greet visitors?" But they, as they were, as their own intimate home was, in the mess, if you like, of their own lives, their own bewilderment, their own domesticity, they invited Jesus in. And he became, around their table, not the guest, but the host. And that's the wonder of it. Because it was him that was breaking bread and blessing it and giving it to them. And it was in that action, maybe because they'd heard the story of the Last Supper, and he said, "Do this in remembrance of me," it was in that action that the scales fell from their eyes and they understood Jesus, who he was. Now, just rehearse that again. He's been through the bewilderment. He's come alongside them unrecognized. They've invited him in. He's explained the Scriptures to them. He's now sharing a meal with them. And then comes this verse: their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And in that context, Jesus sets us up. He sets up the church. He sets up this church of St. Ursula's to invite him in afresh, for him to be recognized afresh in all his Easter glory, and to enter in again for a new stage of that adventure. And he sets us up as we gather around his table, as we open together his word in all the various settings that we do that. And he sets us up for mission and not just maintenance. He sets us up for salvation and not just survival. He sets us up to be witnesses and not whingers. He sets us up for service and not for self-seeking. And how the whole church needs to learn that, because we can so often become imprisoned and turned inwards with the day-to-day trivia of actually organizing church life, when here in our midst is the risen Lord and breaking bread and opening the Scriptures to us. So I simply want to say, as some of my final words to you, that my and Brenda's continued prayer for you, for all the saints here in Bern, and my goodness me, you are saints. You're not perfect, but you're saints under God. For all the saints in Burma, that they may be truly Easter people, walking by the same light of Christ, but appreciating all the many different spectrum of colours that that light can give us, helping the blind to see, that eyes might be opened, and ready yourselves and ourselves to be blessed and to bless, because the light of Christ has shined into our lives with the revelation of Jesus Christ, his Son. Amen.